Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit as it relates with eternal life. Ephesians 1 and 13, just one scripture. Miracles are happening already, inside, outside. You can start checking yourself. Be in faith. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So when you believed, when you trusted God, when the gospel came to you, and you trusted the Lord, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit after you believe. Now, why were you sealed with the Holy Spirit? Next part of scripture. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of what? Our inheritance. Until what? The redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Can we see it in the Amplifier rendition? Just the literal Amplifier rendition. We'll read again. Let's read together. That's from verse 13. In Him you also, let's read together. I want to read. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the good news of your salvation, as a result believed in Him, were stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit, the one promised by Christ, as owned and protected by God. Next part of scripture. The Spirit is the guarantee, the first installment, the pledge, a foretaste of our inheritance unto the redemption of God's own purchased possession, His believers, to the praise of His glory. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. That means when Jesus finished everything on the cross, He said to us, it is expedient that I go so that the Holy Spirit will come, isn't it? And He said, when He comes, everything about me, He will make sure you know it. You know it. I've said this several times, especially in one of my clips in the internet. I said the proof that the Holy Spirit has done His work in your life, it's beautiful, but it's not necessary, that it's not chiefly, I mean, that you are rolling on the ground every Sunday. Even though the Holy Ghost can cause you to roll on the ground. But if you just keep on rolling on the ground without knowing Jesus, then the job of the Holy Spirit is not done. The chief job of the Holy Spirit is to make sure you know Jesus. Are you listening to me? It's to make sure you what? You know Jesus. It is possible to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you know, part time, you know, the influence of the Holy Ghost is upon you. But if you are not aware of the function of the Holy Spirit, the chief function of the Holy Spirit, that can be happening why He has not fulfilled His ministry in your life. Are we together? And that is why, surprisingly, you see some Christians who pray in tongues, some Christians who always fall down in church. All right, we're not trying to insult them, etc. But they find themselves doing wrong things. They find themselves still addicted. They find themselves still, you know, failing in character. They talk to people wrongly. They insult people. They backbite. Yet they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Are we together? Remember, He is the installment. He is the pledge that what is supposed to happen to you happens to you. The major thing that is supposed to happen to you is not the pledge. He came on your inside to make sure that you, what the purchased position becomes your reality. That what Jesus achieved on Calvary becomes your very reality. So if that doesn't happen, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is not fulfilled in your life yet. Are you listening to me? So if you are, for instance, seated here and you feel the Holy Ghost is just to, you know, even as powerful as healing is, that many will receive today or have already received, as powerful as healing and miracles are, you see, that's not the function of the Holy Spirit, the chief function, sorry, of the Holy Spirit. His number one function is to make sure you realize who you are. You get to know who you are by revealing Jesus to you. Because in Jesus, we live, breathe, and what? Have our being. And we treated a topic yesterday, and we were exposed how that Jesus is our mirror. Can you remember? 2 Corinthians 3:18, that as we see Jesus as a glass, the old KJV will say, I think the new KJV will say as a mirror. Alright? We are being transformed from the glory of what? The old into the glory of what? The new. I remember I've always told you there are just two glory.
Yes, sir.
The reason why the present church probably, including myself, may not be experiencing fully the power of the Holy Ghost is because we think it is glory to glory to glory. I learned that from Prophet Kubus, my role model. He said it's not glory to glory to glory, because the context of that scripture doesn't speak about glory to glory to glory. From verse 9, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3, it says, if the ministry of condemnation, let's see it together, if the ministry of condemnation was glorious or had glory, the ministry of the righteous what exceeds much more in glory. So how many glory are we talking about? To glory. The glory of the old and the glory of the new. Are we together? And the glory of the new is a function of understanding Jesus. It's a function of knowing Jesus. Because if you go downwards towards 14 and the rest, can we see verse 14 and 15? Very, very briefly. It says, but, alright, okay, maybe from verse 13, so that we understand better. Unlike Moses, who puts a veil over his face so that the children of Israel, they are just speaking about two ministries, Moses and Christ, right? Put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was what? Passing away. It was a glory that was what? Passing away. Alright? And they could not even contain that, curtail or contain that glory in that time. Moses had to put a veil on his face. Because the intensity of the glory was so too much for humanity at that point in time. They didn't have capacity to look at Moses' face. And Moses interfaced an angel, not God. Because if Moses saw God, he wouldn't say, show me your face. Who Moses saw was an angel. And the glory that he got from an angel, human beings could not see it. They could not curtail it. They could not contain it. They felt incapacitated to beholding that glory. Are we together? Now, next part of scripture. And the Bible said that glory was passing away. That's not supposed to be the current glory. It's supposed to pass away. Next part of scripture. It then says in verse 15. Very important. Verse 15, very fast, media. It says, but even to... Okay, are we reading verse 14? Let's go back to verse 14. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of what? The Old Testament. Because the veil is taken away where? In Christ. That simply means that veil can still be on your face as when they keep on reading the Old Testament. By the Old Testament, they don't mean every wonderful thing that happened in the Old Testament. The law. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Trying to attain righteousness by works. When you are doing things by the arm of the flesh. The Bible says if you are doing that, you are limited. There's more like a veil on your face. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? As long as the law has been emphasized, there's a veil on our faces, the Bible said. Now, next part of scripture. Alright? It said, because the veil is taken away in Christ. Next part of scripture, verse 15. It said, but even till this day, wherever Moses is read, a veil what lies on their heart. Meaning till date, we can still have a limitation at the reading of Moses. Moses is not an enemy. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? A lot of times when we look at this scripture, it's painting a picture like Moses is an enemy. He's not. Alright? Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Moses, you know, whatever Moses did outside the Ten Commandments, there was still human addendum in it. For instance, Jesus made a statement in Matthew. He said, Moses said this so Lord to you because of the hardness of your heart. What it means is that you were too stubborn for Moses. He had to bend to your pressure. He said, but in the beginning, it was not so. So Jesus came to make sure the beginning happens to us today. What was assigned for us from the beginning. Remember, we were talking about this thing yesterday. We used a scripture in the Amplified rendition. Before we rush back here, Colossians 2 and 3. Let's see it very briefly in the Amplified rendition. Very briefly, we'll come back here. I hope you are here. It says, for you died to this world and your new real. You see that? It seems like it's new. We are saying new things, but it's not new. We're actually revealing the real you to yourself. So when we say, he blessed me so much with the rap, he said, the advantage is not for those who just read the scripture and when they hear, you know, when people say there's a casting down, then they'll just read it. There's a casting down, there's a lifting up for me. The advantage is not for the person that read it. It's for the person that is what? Saying it. That really blessed me. Alright, so you don't just quote the scripture. When men say there's a casting down, there's a lifting up for me. And you just stop there. Alright, you got to be saying the stuffs that are meant for you. And when there's lack, you say there's more than enough. Where it seems like there's weakness, what do you declare? Strength. When it seems like there's failure, you declare success upon your life. That's when you see the word of God working in your life. Not when you read that scripture and just go away. Are you listening to me? Very important. So when we begin to talk about these things, some people think we are bringing new doctrines. No, it's the real stuff. It's more like everybody who has ever used a system, and I believe almost everybody has a PC or has used a PC before. If I say, what is the function of Windows E? What will you say? Who knows the function of Windows E? If you know, can you wave your hand? Don't be humble. Just show us. If you know, Windows E. Okay, Donald knows, Benjamin knows. Miriam, do you know? Because I know you have a PC. Do you know? You don't know. You see, so she has a PC. She has changed over 3 PCs. I think the last one, they say it caught fire or something. She has changed over 3 PCs. And she still doesn't know the function of Windows E. If I come and tell her that Windows E does this and that, am I bringing something new? That function had always been on a PC. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Well, what happens now? It's a revelation of what has been there. What I'm revealing right now is not something new. It's what has already been in you from the very beginning. It has always been in you. So when men say there's a casting down, what do you say? Let the weak say I'm what? Let the poor say I'm what? You are not saying a lie. You are declaring who you are. Jesus said, I have said so that you may boldly say, not timidly say. We are not created to suffer in the hands of the devil. Talk to me, somebody. We are not created to suffer in the hands of the devil. Suffer shame in the hands of the devil. I mean, we can tell how beautiful our future is. It's the word. My future is very bright. I have no fear about tomorrow because I believe in Jesus. The best things are waiting for me in my tomorrow. Say, what if you fail in life? You say, how dare you ask that useless question? I was in Jaws years ago with one of my friends, Apostle Micah, and somebody said, for example, it was a picture. Somebody said, for example, if you are sick or if you are broke or something like that. He now said, even in the example, you cannot use me. Even in the example, I refuse to become a victim. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And it's no way. The part of the Joseph is like a shining light that shines brighter to the perfect day. It can never get, even if it seems like it's not working for your good, it's working for your good. And that's why you don't joke with the Holy Ghost, because you see, for you, I'm trying to go somewhere. I'll come back there. You will not miss me. But I just want to be hitting the point. You know, that scripture is in Romans 8:28. It said, therefore we know all things. One time I was doing it here, I said, not everybody has the right to that scripture, except you are filled with the Holy Ghost. You cannot claim that scripture for yourself. You know, religiously, almost every human being who is a Christian, alright, because if you are not a Muslim in this country, you are a Christian. So, almost every human being who just, you know, whenever things just happen, they'll just say, all things work out together for my good. And a lot of times, sometimes it doesn't seem like that. You still suffer at the end. Because, you see, the Bible said, if a man desires mastery, yet no crown, he should strive what? You don't just carry that scripture like that. You know, maybe some people even quoting that scripture don't even know where the scripture is. So they've never tried to really understand that scripture. It will not truly work for your good. If you look at verse 26, let's read together. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. Let's read together. And also, if anyone competes, all right? No. You see, media? Verse 26 of Romans 8. Is it Nathanael that is there? Huh? Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. What is our weakness? We don't know how to pray. That's our weakness. We all don't know how to pray as we what? Ought to pray. He said, but the Spirit of God helped that infirmity with what? Groanings that words cannot word. Alright? Now, next part of scripture. It then says, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We don't know how to pray as we ought to, but the Holy Spirit knows everything. And so God said he should enable us to pray, help us to pray. He knows God's heart for us. You know, the Bible says something in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12. Starting from verse 11, from verse 10, it says, the Spirit of God searches all things, yet the deep things of God. Then in verse 11, it says, who knows the heart of a man but the spirit of that man? I think in the tale of same verse 11, it says, who knows the heart of God but the Spirit of God? Then verse 12 said, you have received the Spirit which is from God, that you may what? Know the things that God has what? Freely. Somebody shout freely. Give it unto you. Without the Holy Spirit, all of these free gifts you cannot receive. You cannot walk in the reality of eternal life without the Holy Ghost. See how powerful eternal life is, yet you'll be failing. There's a scripture I always love. John 10:28. Jesus speaking boldly. He said, I've given them eternal life and no man can steal them from my hand. No man can steal them from God's hand. If it seems as if you are falling and rising everything, every time, that's not the testimony of a believer. The Bible did not say the believer is a saint that sins sometimes. I've heard those things, but it's not true. They are all junk. Let's be realistic. You know, you got to think in the level of God's word. You know, some of us, we are so used to this world, so used to the teachings of this world, so used to the experiences of this world, that it's very difficult to believe the word of God. Like yesterday we established, the Bible said, be ye what? Perfect. But how many people believe they can be perfect? You know, way back somebody added me on Facebook, and I always like to know the persons that I'm receiving their request. And I saw on the timeline or whatever, you know, just around the name, region and the rest, the person wrote, it is boring to be perfect. So I started trying to be myself because it is boring to be perfect. And I started laughing. I accepted the request because that kind of person needs me very well. Are we together? He said, it's boring to be perfect. So I started being myself. And I asked the question, who is yourself? What is yourself? Yourself is not any direction that Satan wills to express through your life. You just sit down and yourself will be go and kiss that girl. Yourself will be go and steal that book. Yourself will go and steal that phone. Is that yourself? That's not yourself. The Bible said Jesus is our mirror, 2 Corinthians 3:18. That we behold Jesus like a mirror. We have been transformed. So when you see Jesus, you see yourself. Does Jesus steal? Did Jesus ever walk in sin? See what the Bible even said. We do not have a Savior who is ignorant of the feelings of our infirmities. Meaning he came to this world. He said, give me the best of human's weakness. Let me put it on. He wore it. Faced any trial and tribulation. Yet he overcame. He was never subjected to sin. And when he did it, he didn't say, use your human strength to overcome like me. No. He gave you his own ability. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? His own ability. See what the Bible says. I promise you will not miss me. I'm still going to come back here. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:16 in the Amplified rendition. We're going to read together. He didn't give you that. He didn't say, you know, walk. In fact, he didn't tell you to walk in the nature of himself before resurrection. When he wore our weaknesses. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He gave you a higher realm. Let's read together. So from now on, we what? Regard no one. From a what? According to what? And what? Though we have what? From a what? Now we no longer know him in this way. He said, regard no one and see no one. And yourself, don't see yourself like that. Don't see yourself from a human point of view. Jesus used to be seen and used to exist as from a human point of view. But not anymore. He's now resurrected. The Father has given him a name above what? All other names. And it's on the strength of that name that the Bible calls us new creations. So look at it. Verse 17, we'll read all together. We know it. Therefore, on the strength of the above, if anyone is in what? He's a what? New creation. All things are what? Gone. You see that? So I'm a new man. Now go back to Romans 8 and 27. He that knows the heart of the Father prays for us according to the will of the Father. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. One of the ingredients of the Holy Spirit is the ability to pray. He helps us pray. Alright? And praying in the Spirit is not a prayer for some kind of Christians. It's a prayer for Christians. There was a man in scripture called Apollos. I don't know if you remember in Acts 18. The man, the Bible described him to be fervent in spirit. He looked fervent. He was shouting. He was preaching, but he was very wrong. From that scripture, I understood that it is possible to be shouting and be wrong. Two of Paul's students, a couple that always travel for mission works, they sat down under his ministration. They did not insult him. After the ministration, they went to him and said, sir, look at the scripture. You are wrong. Such a wonderful man. Such a humble man. He agreed. And they took him to their spiritual father, Paul. And Paul asked him, of which baptism are you baptized? He said, of John's baptism. He said, no, that's a limitation. The purpose of John's baptism is not to be getting people dipped in water. The purpose of John's baptism is to discover the Messiah. Very important. I've done it here several times, isn't it? John 1, what? Give me that scripture. 32. John 1, 32. Very, very fast. We'll come back here again. It says, and John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. Next part of scripture. From verse 31. Okay, all right, this is it. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize, more like an agoidim. I didn't know him. An agoidim is a step-by-step procedure, right? To do something, isn't it? So the agoidim God gave John to discover the Messiah was this. He said, I did not know him, but God said to me, he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So he came to discover the Messiah for Israel. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. And the Messiah is supposed to baptize with the Holy Spirit. But Apollos only knew what? John's baptism. And so Paul said, there's a limitation. You got to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And he laid hands on Apollos. Apollos left. Do you know that several months or years later, in 1 Corinthians 4, a city was divided into two. Submission is not weakness. A city was divided into two. Matured Apollos with children, probably, and his wife, went and submitted to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and to learn the things of God more appropriately, like the Bible said. In 1 Corinthians 4, some say, I am for Paul. Some say, I am for Apollos. Paul will enter a city. Apollos will enter. The city will be divided into two. Who trained Apollos? Paul. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Submission is not weakness. Now, the people don't even care who trained who. When they hear Apollos' name, they are running. When they hear Paul's name, they are running. Paul had to calm the situation. Some say, I'm for Paul. Some say, I'm for Apollos. He said, when God, one sows the seed, the other watered, God giveth increase. So glory be to God. He had to calm the situation. Apollos became that powerful. What if he was proud and kept on, negating Paul and saying he was mature enough to know what was good for him? He would have been limited. Are we together here? He would have been limited. Go back to Romans 8 and 27. We're going somewhere. So you need the Holy Ghost to know everything that God has given you so that you walk in the reality of this eternal life. Remember, the Holy Spirit in us is what? Like we started with, Ephesians 1:13. The pledge. Pledge is not full payment. So God kept the Holy Spirit in us and said, because of the Holy Spirit in you, I am sure, I am pledging, I know that finally you begin to walk in the reality of what I've attained for your uncovering. The purchase word, possession, like we read in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. That is why if you go downwards, Paul now says something like this, and I thank God when I heard about your salvation, I began to pray for you to have wisdom and knowledge by the Holy Spirit. And in 18 he said that the eyes of your understanding may be what? Enlightened. You see that? So that you get to see the glorious power of God at work in your life. I think we should even look at that. Next part of scripture, verse 19. It says, alright? It says, and so that you begin to know what the word immeasurable and what surpassing greatness of his word, active spiritual power, which is in us who believe. How many of you believe in Jesus tonight? The Bible says the power you have on your inside, I'm going to describe it now according to scriptures. It says that power is what? Immeasurable. And the power is what? And the power can surpasses what? All greatness. That power has no limitation according to Jesus. Are we together? He said these are in accordance with the working of his mighty strength. Where did he show this mighty strength? Verse 20. Let's read together. It says, which he produced. See where this power was produced. Which he produced in Christ when he what? Raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. That power was produced at the resurrection. So the Bible says in Romans 8:11, if the same power, the power that is immeasurable, the power that is unlimited and surpasses all greatness, the power that was produced at the resurrection, the Holy Spirit is that power. He said, if the same power, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, what has happened to your body? It has been quickened. Now, how many of you are filled with the Holy Spirit in this place? What has happened is that your body has been quickened. So stop trying to quicken your body. Now acknowledge that your body has been offered a what? Living sacrifice. Acknowledge. Don't try to offer it. In the root word, the word offer there simply means to acknowledge. You walk with a consciousness that this body does not belong to you. It belongs to God. It has been offered. I'm not trying to offer it. This is how to shut the door of sin. Stop trying to offer. Understand it has been offered. Say, my body has been offered. Shout it, say, my body has been offered. My body is not my own. And that's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he said, you don't know that you are not your own. He was talking to the Corinthian church. They were walking in immorality, a few of them. He said, don't you know you were bought with a price? How dare you? Don't you know? And that your body is not your own. You were bought with a price. To the end that you glorify God in your spirit and your body, which are God's. In verse 12:1, he said, offering our body or acknowledging that our body has been offered is the most reasonable, our most reasonable service. Meaning, the only thing that makes sense to God that you understand what he has done on Calvary is that your body has been offered. Is that you are living with a consciousness that your body is not your own. He said, it's your most reasonable service. That is why if you look at verse 12 of Romans 8, the Bible said, if you truly understand that the same spirit that has raised Jesus has quickened your body, the verse 12 now says that you are now owing God. You are a debtor. A debtor not to walk to the flesh again because you will die. He said, but a debtor to by the spirit mortify the desires of the flesh. You see that? Yesterday we established something. We said God doesn't give kinetic. He gives what? Potential. He said, I've given you power to what? Bring about cash. He doesn't give the cash. He gives you power to bring the cash. You've learned his attitude now. That simply means God will not give you holy living. He will give you righteousness for you to produce what? Holy living. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say now? And that's why I said, by the Spirit, mortify. Subject the flesh. Say, I can subject my flesh. Say, I can subject my flesh. Now, if God said we can do it, we can do it. Now, he knows us more than we know ourselves. Nobody knows you like God Almighty. If you created this chair, nobody knows the chair more than you. Nobody can claim to know Corolla or Toyota more than the people that produce the cars. I remember one time I was going to change my oil in the car, and they wrote what I should put, the kind of oil I should put, and the mechanic was telling me to use another oil that is better than what the producers wrote. And I said to him, sir, it is not possible that what you are suggesting. He said, no, this is Nigeria. It is not like... I said, no. The people making this car knew that this car will go beyond their country to other country. It doesn't make sense to me. And I had a friend who was always using the other car, using the other oil. Before you know it, the engine had a problem. My oil is the one they wrote, they prescribed. I've been using it till now. Nothing has happened to the car. You see that? Nobody knows a product more than the person that produced it. Now, nobody knows you more than God Almighty that created you. If he said, be perfect, don't hear any singer. Don't say perfection is boring. Don't try to be yourself. Be like Christ. Because he's your mirror. In him you what? Live. In him you what? In him you what? When they say be yourself, except that being yourself is being like Christ. Your real self is Christ. Like Christ. You were created in God's what? Image and life. If Christ cannot be weak, I can't be weak. If he say I should be perfect, he knows what he has put in me. I may be thinking I'm weak. No wonder he said, let the weak shout. He said, let the poor say. We thought we were weak. God said, no, tell them. You know, I used to give this analogy years ago. I said, imagine some people come to the gates of heaven. They are knocking. They want to see God. What is their problem? Some are weak and some are what? Poor. And God is like, which people are coming? Say, human beings that I created. Maybe God is asking now, that I created? He said, yes. What are they complaining with? Sir, some of them are poor and some of them are saying that they feel weak. Tell them to get out. Let them just say, I'm weak, I'm strong. What is saying I'm weak? What is and I'm keying into what the tree was sharing here. What is the power of what is tied to the power? I mean, the ability to just say words. If saying words are like are more like nothing, why would God say let the weak say I'm strong? Why would God say let the poor say I'm rich? You know, years ago I always used to tell you the primary purpose of your mouth is not to chop food. It's to create your world. In the beginning, God said, let there be, and there was. I heard this from Bill Clinton years ago. He said, whatever you are experiencing today is a product of your speakings. Yes, and even probably yesterday. That's why I don't talk failure. When I hear people say, are you mad? You they mad? I get scared. And thank God the Holy Spirit has not made sure that they are walking in the reality of the power of what they are exhibiting right now. If, for instance, you say you are mad and somebody becomes mad, no wonder he didn't give you the ability to get to that realm of anointing. You would have made many people mad. Imagine you just sit and say, man, I'm sick of this thing, and you get sick immediately. Some of you think it's civilization. Man, I'm sick. I'm getting sick of this rubbish, man. It's not civilization. It's bad language in the spirit. I can never be sick in my life. I can never be sick in my life. I refuse to be sick. Years ago, I heard about Pastor Chris that they were taking him to the hospital. The pastors forced him and put him on the emergency. The body was getting hot. He was declaring he can't be sick. They now carried their pastor by force. They don't want their pastor to die. As they were rushing him, he was shouting, I refuse to be sick. I refuse. He was fighting him. I refuse to be sick. So they put drip for him. He slept small. They just came to check him. He has gone back home. He said, I refuse to be sick. When they went to check him, he was 100% okay. He said, I refuse to be sick. I can never be sick. In the name of Jesus. Now say this was, I refuse to be sick. Don't get used to the sickness. Tell the cancer to go. Tell the ulcer, go away. I saw the Lord touching wounds in the hearts of people. I told you in the beginning. You know, many people are used to ulcers, especially. I was talking with a sister one time. She said, my ulcer will not allow me fast. I say, it's a lie. It's not your ulcer. It's the devil's ulcer. It's the devil's ulcer. It's not your own. Are you listening to me? If you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, you are living a dangerous life. Receiving very fast. Don't allow any denomination to subject you. In our church, we don't used to pray in tongues, or we hate. You can't hate. See, nothing can be done against but for the truth. There is no land for your church in the realm of the spirit in heaven. God will not say, this church, come here, continue your doctrine. Every wrong thing will be arranged. Hey, listen, you may probably make heaven from believing a wrong doctrine, as long as you are not walking in sin. You may probably make heaven, but you suffered a lot of consequences upon the face of the earth. God did not just create us to be existing and make heaven one day. No, that's not the purpose for our creation. It is to bring the influence of heaven to the earth. They said, teach us how to pray, the 12. He said, pray this prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom, your will be done as it is. Not the ability to be escaped into heaven. God wants Christians to bring heaven to the earth. That's why he gave you the Holy Spirit, so that you go and dominate. As we're saying in verse 27, 28 now of that same scripture, after praying in tongues, after knowing the Holy Spirit is the one that helps us to pray in tongues, look at verse 8. It says, and we know that what? All things. So who are the people that will enjoy this? Those who pray in the Spirit. All things will work together for your good. Little wonder Paul says things like this, I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than ye all. Testimony time, people come and say, I want to thank God for a new car. I want to thank God for that person. I say, let me just thank God for the cheat code. This is the source of new car and everything. Every time new car can be produced with this ability. Say, I want to thank God, oh people of God. I pray in tongues more than everybody. No wonder the man was living immortal, like an immortal upon the face of the earth. The Bible said there was a certain guy in the book of Acts that they stoned Paul to death. I was confused reading that scripture. And people came, they gathered around him, trying to look at him. And the Bible says, then he stood up and walked out from amongst them and went to preach. He was going to another city to go and preach. Somebody they were trying to mourn. In 1 Corinthians 15, he says something that preachers don't like to touch. He said, if the resurrection is useless, because to Paul, he believes that if Jesus resurrected, man can resurrect today if they die. That's why if people die, we bring them back to life. He said, if the resurrection is useless, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we'll die. From Paul's perspective, in Paul's time, at that time, it was dangerous to be a Christian. They were stoning them to death every time. So Paul said, if we don't believe in the resurrection of the dead, tomorrow I will die, because I will probably preach in a dangerous place and they will kill me. Then he began to explain how I fought with the beast in the city of Ephesus. How I died. Now he was explaining how many times he fought and survived death. Then he said something like, I die daily. You know, they've made it a doctrine that every day we die as Christians. No, the Bible did not say we die every day. It's wrongly interpreted. Because if the Bible said that, then why is the Bible saying this? Paul cannot contradict himself. Romans 6 and 7. Very fast, and we'll come back here. Romans 6 and 7. I want everyone to read. One, two, read. For he who has died. You see that? We have died. We have died in Christ. We are not going to die. And the Bible said that's why we are free from sin. If you die daily, you'll be getting free from sin every day. You know, that's why many Christians live confused life. They are wondering. You know, like I went somewhere, I heard people trying to sing what Paul was explaining. Paul have not landed. They took what Paul was saying on the road and made it a doctrine. Romans 7. If you look at the context from verse 1, he said, I speak to them that know the law. The word know there in Greek is ginosko. It means experiential knowledge. Meaning, these people I'm talking to, they understand me because they've experienced it. Why? They are trying to live by the law. This is their experience. Because I was there too, Paul speaking. I was living by the law too. I was a Pharisee. So I understand exactly their experience. Then in verse 9, 10, he said, the law is good, but the effect as a system is bad. In 14 now, he said, the law are the ways of a spiritual man, but I am sold under the nature of sin and death. Do not lie, it's not bad. Do not kill, it's not bad. They are the ways of a spiritual man. He said, but me, that my carnal nature at that time was sold under the nature of what? Sin and death. He said, that is why the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. He was using his life to explain to the Pharisees. I found myself doing them. Now, Paul is not saying that should become a doctrine. Because I went somewhere and I heard a song like this. There are things I don't like to do. I said, no, that's wrong. Paul was trying to teach them something. He had not arrived yet. And that's why he said something at the end. Maybe you should add that to your lyrics. He said, oh wretched man that I am, who can deliver me? He agreed that at that point he was wretched. He was suffering. At the tail of that scripture, he said, I now thank God because I now do what my soul desires. Then in verse 1 of the next scripture, which is a continuation, because they had to break the Bible for us to be able to, you know, cite and the rest. The Bible now says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in what? Because these kind of people do not walk after, but after. Remember what we said yesterday? We said the flesh is not willing, but the spirit is willing. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. Now if you walk in the willing one, you will know what? Fulfill the desires of the flesh. Walk in the spirit, because the spirit is willing. Now you say things like this, I refuse to walk in sin. Yeah, let me tell you, Christians, if you don't believe this thing, you will never see the glory of God. The glory promised for the new creation is not a glory that comes, you know, when we sin sometimes. And no, that glory will not come like that. He said, I will not put new wine in old wine skin. And somebody is saying, like, do you mean that if, as I'm talking, and some people are maybe wondering, maybe they will be angry. You mean somebody can be perfect? Yes, somebody can be perfect. If anybody be in Christ, is perfect. Now say, I'm perfect. If you can't be perfect, you can't say, be perfect. I know you have seen a lot of temptations in this world, but the one in you is greater. And you have to walk in the consciousness of this revelation. The one in you is greater. God cannot tell you to do what he has not capacitated you for. It's not possible. 1 John 5:3. He said, my commandments are not hard. In the Amplified rendition, put it up. He said, they are not difficult to obey. But you see, if you don't have the Holy Spirit and get to understand eternal life more appropriately, you will find yourself doing the things you don't want to do. In fact, the Bible said in verse 16, I guess, of Romans 6. Is it Romans 6, verse 12? There about 14. The Bible said, it said, now sin shall not have dominion over you because you are not under the law, a wrong way of living, but under what? Grace. Meaning, if you truly understand grace, you live above sin. You reign above sin. The Bible said, for the grace of God has appeared to what? All men. Not some men. All men. Teaching us by the help of the Holy Ghost. Capacitating us as a people that can say, no, Satan. When it comes knocking, we say, no, Satan. I can do all things, Paul said. They've not brought the list of all the things he said I can do. I am never scared. Never scared. I can never be defeated. Why? I have the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, don't go and preach for me. Tarry in Jerusalem until you've been endued with power from on high. Don't go and preach for me. Because if you go without the Holy Ghost, you cannot do anything. Wait for me. And when the Holy Ghost filled them in a day, they won 3,000. A people who were scared. In a day, won how many thousand? 3,000. Spoke different languages. The Holy Spirit cannot be limited. They were diverse languages that they were speaking the languages. We've had this testimony in our days too, countless times. Some people will just be preaching, and you hear people who don't know that language. I mean, he doesn't know the language of the people, but he's just preaching, you know, and began to pray in tongues. And people are like, they are crying. Why? He's speaking their language. I had a case of a man who went to China. The pastor sent him to China to go and preach. And when he got to China, he was so confused from Africa. So he just hid himself somewhere and started praying in tongues. I can't tell how the tongues was. But the people gathered, when he opened his eyes, because he closed his eyes, the people gathered around him, they've dropped a lot of money on the ground. And some of them were crying. They've repented. And I saw somebody who knows English more. I said, what happened here? He said, you were speaking and preaching to them in their language. And most of them were touched. I was touched too. That's why I came. He said, but I was not speaking. He said, yeah, you were speaking their language. You see that? In a day, how many thousand? 3,000. So why do you think without the Holy Spirit you can do anything? And there are some who want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but they don't want to speak the language of the Holy Spirit. They feel like it's not necessary. Labagaba, what is the meaning of? Are they mad? Why would they talk with you and no sabi? One time I was explaining to somebody, you know, I was in BSU years ago, and I sat around that SU park, and a young man came with his a lady. He invited a lady from another school, from where I saw this, and he was chiking the lady, and they were talking. So those days I'll pretend like I'm not hearing. I'll put earpiece, but I'm hearing everything. I always do it, but I've stopped now, so you can talk while I'm on earpiece. So I was hearing the guy, he was telling the lady how beautiful she was and everything, and how that he's been admiring her. I think she came from Uni Agriculture. So finally, he now said to her, while they were praying in tongues in basketball court, he said, what are these fools doing? These guys are foolish people. They sent them to school, they are just stupid people. Look at these mad people. I couldn't help it. I turned and looked at him. I said, brother, don't insult what you don't understand. The lady was talking and said, it's true. Stop insulting what you don't understand. I say, hey, you see? If the lady was going to like you, she would not like you again. You've just shown your stupidity. I said, he said I should explain what that means. And I said to him, the Bible did not promise us that when we pray in tongues, we are going to be understanding immediately. He said, though our minds may be unfruitful at that moment, but in the spirit we are uttering mysteries. Mysteries. It's called tongues of angels. We are giving angels instructions. You know we are far beyond angels? Far! People used to argue, we were telling my pastors the other day, we used to know somebody who always argued that angels are bigger than us. Recently he said, I've come to a submission, I've understood that we are bigger than angels. We are far bigger than angels. Forget that you come from Okpoga, Ikpayongu. Don't allow that limit you. Forget that you came from Away Street. You are far bigger than angels. Far! The Bible says, for a little while, Amplified Rendition, Hebrews 2:7, we're under the mastery of angels. But now we have been given glory and honor. And the Bible says, he has set us far above the works of his hand. Angels are under our feet. Are you here tonight? In fact, the Bible says, you've been called into an innumerable multitude of angels. That's why there should be no fear around you. The Old Testament prophet Elisha experienced this thing in a measure. What he saw was a measure. The Bible says soldiers came for him. Because nobody has secrets again because of Elisha. For some who have problem with the prophetic, there is such a thing as forensic prophecy. We can see into your fridge. And it's not a problem. Are you listening? If you don't understand, forget about it. But it's a reality. Even Jesus walked in the prophetic. He said, woman, you have married, how many? 5 husbands. Blah, blah, blah. And she said, how did you know? He asked her, did I know you before? Have you ever met before? Have you ever met before? Told her everything about her life. Then she opened immediately. She opened up. She became humble. You know, I told you about the last GCC. I was seeing our student looked, they were not looking serious. So the Lord said, give you the prophetic word. So I said, there's somebody there. You, your father is a, as I just said it, everybody just concentrated. Blah, 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 blah. I said, oh, that's it. That's the reason for the prophetic. Now that they are paying attention, we point them to Jesus. Elisha, nobody has secret. Oh. Husband and wife are discussing secrets. Elisha is hearing it. He will now call his king. The wife advised the husband to kill you tomorrow. So don't follow that road. They are coming for you. It was too much. They told the king, the opposing king, that there is a man there that hears everything we say even in our bedroom. Now send a whole army of a country. Go and get one man. Because he's as important as that country. If we have that man, we'll finish the country. And when they went for him, while the man, I imagine Elisha warming himself. And Gehazi, the one that always likes to collect honorarium when they say don't collect, came to him and said, Master, sir, they have surrounded us. We are finished. Our own has finished. He was close to Elisha. He never knew Elisha. Our own has finished. We are finished. Elisha kept on warming himself. Any other God, not so, so, yeah, yeah. All other God. He said, Master, you did not hear what I said? They are finishing us. Elisha said, oh God, open the eyes of your servant so that he may know. When his eyes were open, he turned outside. He saw angels. He couldn't see the soldiers again. No soldier again, because the angels were covering the soldiers. They outnumbered the soldiers. That was the angels for one old prophet in the Old Testament. The Bible says, of all men born of women, there was none greater than John the Baptist in the Old Testament. Elisha did not see John the Baptist back. He said, but the least in the kingdom. Now you've been called out from the kingdom of darkness, Colossians 1:13, into God's. Hey, are you here this wonderful evening? You are part of the kingdom. If you are part of the kingdom, the Bible says the least person, meaning the last person who became born again, the last person who will become born again today is greater than John the Baptist. Are you here tonight? But we want to see this reality. We want to walk in the reality of these things. Not just, you know, being mental assenters. Just getting excited with the knowledge. Lord, how can we see this thing come into manifestation? Meanwhile, he has said, I will not put what? New wine in old wineskin. I said yesterday, our fathers of faith will never believe or understand what we are doing if the proof that we are a new creation and that we have understood freedom is bowing 2 ears. I'm a new creation in Christ. Prove it. You see something with 2 ears bored. You see Samson putting nose ring. You see Samson have dyed the hair. I'm not saying, alright. But you see, I'm saying, actually. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? But what am I trying to say right now? If probably you dyed your hair, I did not put earring inside. If probably you dyed your hair, and we are seeing the demonstration of the Spirit, we probably would have not had so much of a problem. But you dyed your hair, you now say you don't believe in prayer. You don't believe in fasting. Jesus has done it. What are you doing now, right now? Not even winning souls. You are dying here and born 2 years. And still calling on Jesus. No father of faith will give you the stage. They believe we don't know what we are doing. I heard Oedipo, Bishop Oedipo, years ago. He said, even if an angel comes to me and tell me that you that bore your ear and played your ear should come and sing here, I will tell that angel, get out from this place now and go back to heaven. I heard him say that years ago. For our generation, the proof that we are new creations is dyed hair, bowing of ears. You see all kinds of atrocity, and we are not saying anything. There was a time a new song came out. I told my choir, don't sing the song. Because when I watched the video, the guy bore his nose, bore 2 of his ears. I said, don't sing that song in this church. No matter the anointing falling, don't sing that song. I was seated there, somebody raised the song. They went to the stage and said, Pastor said they should not sing this song. He changed it to the next song. I'm not trying to insult him. But I don't want my daughter to wake up tomorrow and hear me singing that song. And when she comes to me and says, Daddy, who sang the song? If I'm trying to show her the picture now, she sees nose. Or my son sees nose. And he said, Daddy, wow. I want to sing. I want to look exactly like this man because I want to present it on Sunday. What will I tell him? And that's not actually the right way for a man to dress. But Daddy is singing, he's representing God. We'll start quarreling. But as he's growing, I'll say, I'm teaching him already. Like I'm teaching Shakina, if you see any person bonus shift, you see anybody wear chains, pray that the chains fall, shift. You know, when she grows up, she will understand grace very well. But right now, what will she do? She will shift. If you see anybody put, run. When she grew, the Bible told us in Galatians 4, if you are a child, you can live by stewards and the rest. But when you grow up, we teach you grace. She's small. So what will teach her? Run away. It's the truth. The point I want to make is this. The Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. It has not entered the heart of men. What God has prepared for what? Those that love Him. What is the proof you love God? Keep His commandment. He has said to us, my commandments are not burdensome. They are not difficult to obey. That's why the logo here is living divinity in simplicity. Years ago, a man of God asked me, can anybody live divinity in simplicity? I say yes. What did Jesus say? My yoke is, my burden is. The enemy has come but to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's painting a picture like God is hard. God is not hard to follow. He said, obeying me is not difficult at all. Nobody should paint a picture like God is full of burdens. You hear some people frown their face and they are telling you, if you want to follow this God, it will break you. He will not kill you. So don't believe those rubbish. He's a good father. Say, I was following God. If they cry, don't believe it. These are people that scare people away from the kingdom. Jesus said they will stay at the gate of the kingdom. They don't want to come in the kingdom. Into the kingdom, they will shut the door to others coming inside the kingdom. Forget about them. He said, my yoke is what? Easy. If you do it by your own strength, it will be hard. Do you know why the children of Israel stayed 40 years in the wilderness? Not because God wanted it. Their mindset were not changed. They were refusing to follow Moses, to be instructed, to be discipled. If you don't want to be discipled, it will be very difficult for you. Something that should take 3 months will take 3 years. I'm telling you the truth, it may take 30 years because you don't want to listen. That's why some people have that kind of testimony. If they say, listen, I've suffered in this Christianity, ask them a simple question, were you obeying? If you are obeying, his yoke is what? Easy. And his burden is what? Light. I'm talking to a generation that will manifest the scripture that says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has he entered the hearts of men. In all sectors of life, like I said, even Daniel yesterday, he was not a preacher like myself today. He was outstanding. He represented God in the marketplace, in government, like Joseph. They represented God. They were anointed in their sector, such that a lion that has been hungry for months could not eat Daniel up because of the anointing of God's spirit around him. He wouldn't joke with his prayer. When it's time to pray, he will leave politics or whatsoever and go and pray. Face Jerusalem and pray. When it's time to pray, he will pray. Let Satan never deceive you that your business is more important than prayer. A time will come that only God can save you. A time will come that this scripture will be manifested. It is they that know their God that shall be what? Strong and do what? Exploit. I told you yesterday, you see this thing, some of us, we like feeling shy. You go outside, somebody is trying to talk down your faith or do something that will, you know, paint your faith one kind, and you are feeling shy. You don't want to stand out and represent Jesus. I was gymming years ago in Air Force Base, and they said it was my turn to play music. I said to them, no, play your own, because I have earpiece. They were begging me to play. I said, I'm warning you people, play your own music. You said, no, what you are hearing, pastor, it's your turn. We have all agreed that today we want to hear your song. You always used to put earpiece. Everybody have a play. I said, no. I have no problem. I'm hearing my own. Just play. They insisted that it was a law, a new law. They just want everybody to feel at home. I said, what I'm hearing, you want to hear? Say yes. Say okay, you can plug it. It was Benny Hinn worship that started playing first. Everybody was looking at me. I just want to praise you. People are just looking at everybody. Lift my hands and say, I love you. You are everything to me. I was just raising my eye on. I said, I want them, Lord. They wouldn't listen to me. I want them. After that, they never in their life told me to play my song again. I told them, please play your own song. Nobody said anything from today. They have never said, pastor, can you please play your... They understood. Every scene that was supposed to happen that day did not happen. Everybody was thinking, and now some lady just closing her eye. Because she knew that it would take 2 hours before we remove my phone. It was always 2 hours. And they will not change it. So it's better to just repent early, because this is how it is going to be for the next 2 hours. I went to marry my wife, and they said I must bring alcohol. I don't know when alcohol became part of people's culture. I don't even understand it. Jesus is older than any demon that brought about alcohol. Jesus is older than Gulda. He's older than Kai Kai. In the beginning, it was not so. And when they told me, I said, no, I don't give alcohol. I'm a man of God. They said, no, this is culture. I said, me too, I have a culture. I'm coming from somewhere. Pastor Peter was there. I was telling them to interpret. I'm not giving alcohol. Tell them. They said, no, he has to be. Okay, let him give money. I said, I'm not giving money for alcohol. The pastor, was he say he will not give money for? No problem. They said, okay, this thing cannot continue. This is where we have to stop. I said, okay, so can we be going? Everybody was shocked. We started going. I owned my car. She came crying. The elder brother came crying. Sorry, he did not cry. He's watching. Sorry, he came. Pastor, what happened? Please come, pastor. Please, that cannot happen. She went inside. I love my husband. I love my husband. You know, they can't beg for you if you are not anointed. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And she shouted. They carried me back. Presidential welcome. As I entered, they said, okay, it's okay. They are going to the next level. Just give us what you have. And I brought the wine. I said, this wine is 5,000, 6,000, 8,000. No alcohol here. It's as powerful as this wine. I did not bring one or two. I brought two or three packets for them. They've never drank that kind of thing in their life. Communion immediately. That's how they allow me marry, though. I did not bow to their culture. See, if you do like that, they'll come and disturb you in the night. Me in the night. If you come across, you will be roasted. Just come to welfare quarters, think of me. You will just die. It's not possible. You know, I wonder when Christians are shouting, die. I tell, we don't pray die in our house. We are aware they don't see us. Anybody have taken flights here before? Now I declare flight in the name of Jesus. Because if you have not taken, you may not understand. But listen carefully. If you have taken flight before, you'll be up there. I think Pastor Ephraim took one time, he was showing us on WhatsApp. So I think you can understand it. That time you took flight, that you posted it. You'll be up there. Most of them will now be snapping. My wife used to do it. She'll say, oh, I want to thank God for it. They want to just tell us they are taking flight. Nobody ever knew I took flight. But it's good. Show it. To enter flight is not easy. You can imagine that in this whole church now, say, how many of you have taken flight? Just a few people raise their hand. Now I declare you enter flight in the name of Jesus. Don't pretend. Receive it. I was about to take flight one time with my pastors at the base. So while we were talking, Anand took the flight. I was seeing them as things was going. I was still seeing them small. As we were going up, they were getting smaller. As I go up, they get smaller. I got to a point. I checked the same place. I did not see them. What was happening now? From where I am, it's not possible to see them. But they are there. That's why some people find it difficult to believe us. When we say there is no devil in our world. I don't believe in the ministry of Satan in my life. He can't walk around me. He only walks around the children of what? Disobedient. And when they come around me, I cast the demons out. But there is no Satan in my life, no Satan in my family. Christ before me. Christ beside me. I'm in Christ. Christ around me. Christ on my shoe. Christ on my watch. Christ on my blazers. Christ in my pocket. I'm loaded with Christ. Now I say you are loaded with Christ. I don't think Satan. The Bible says we are seated far. If it's far, it's far. If I want to pursue Satan, not in my life, in the life of other people that have him. So you demon in this body, what are you talking about? Will you leave this body now? The demon will leave. But in my life, no demon. But when we find any demon in anybody's life, get out. We cast the demons out. Are you listening to me? Very important. So don't define yourself by these earthly things and information. You are not Homo sapiens, Homo sapiens sapiens, Homo erectus. You are Homo Christus. Go home with this consciousness. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin cannot. Go and live like Satan does not exist. Are you listening to me? Go back home with this consciousness. Don't be pampering any other sin. Don't be hiding some sin. And forget secret sin. I don't even like hearing those topics. Secret sin. A child of God cannot have secret sin. The moment you come into Christ, we remove one thing from our dictionary, backslide. You can't backslide. You are caught up in light. I only see Jesus. I only see glory. I don't see weakness. And this happens by the power of the Holy Ghost. Only by the power of the Holy Ghost. I cannot be sick in my life. No devil can come nigh me. In the name of Jesus. I have divine inspiration to enter into prosperity. To enter into prosperity. I refuse to be poor. I walk in riches. Riches alone in the name of Jesus. The Lord gives an idea. We have the impetus to implement it. Before next Zoe conference, we are having people coming here to testify. Pastor, I want to thank God. After the last Zoe conference with the things we had, now I am in the millions. The last deal I see was 50 million. It will be like a dream. Like a dream. Like a dream. One good example I can use is my friend here, Pastor Ephraim. Years ago, I used to know him. My wife used to know him. When he comes to my house, he's straight to my kitchen. Man of God, how you doing? What is happening here? One day he was coming to Makodi. He told me he was doing real estate. I didn't know how serious the thing was. He was coming to Makodi. I said, man of God, I am by the side of Wefley Quarters Road there. I'm just trying to do something, blah, 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 blah. He said, okay, I am coming. I said, okay, if you get close, what are you wearing so that if any bike is passing, I'll be checking. He said, hey, man of God, you still think I'm on bike? You heard how he was talking today. You still think I'm sick? Man of God, no. Man of God, don't worry, you'll soon see me. I said, man of God, I've been seeing plenty of bikes passing here. I've not seen you. My car is parked by the side. Say, man of God, can you see? I can see you now. Can you see one black sharp Benz? I said, I can see Benz. Who brought you to my cuddy with Benz? It was hard to believe. Who was traveling that you followed? He said, man of God, just wait. He came out. Man of God, celebrate you, sir. Man of God, this is my latest. I was thinking he was joking. He likes to play a lot, so I thought he was joking. I said, oh, you mean this is your, I call him Apo. I said, Apo, you mean this is your car? He said, that's it. We went close. I said, this thing looks new. It's your car. He said, man of God, the Lord has been faithful. The Lord, I'm even thinking of adding one by November. I said, what happened? Low tone now. What has happened? Then he started the story. He told me some story. The end of it was money, how God led him. Now the Spirit of God. I think I can use that example. He said, I was serving somewhere. I don't know if he shared the story. And the Holy Spirit led him to sow a seed to somebody. He collected his first alawi and took it to the man. I said, the Holy Ghost said, I should give you, sir. The man said, I'm not really a serious Christian like that. I've not seen this kind of thing before. He said, the Holy Spirit led me, sir, to give you. I just want to honor the Spirit of God. He gave the man. The man said, no, don't give me yet. The man thought of all the people he has helped that have not shown gratefulness, gratitude. He said, follow me. Took him to his house. He said, hey, all of you come outside. When they came outside, he said, okay, man of God, I come on. What were you saying in the office? He said, sir, the Lord said I should sow this to you. It's my first salary as a copper. He said, are you people seeing what I'm seeing here? Somebody working for me. See how the God bless you, blah, blah, blah. And the man took him and said, I want to show you a secret. I've never seen things like this before. That was how the thing started opening up. That was the story he told me. He was in my house when he was making a call. I was looking at Ephraim like this. Is this not the Ephraim I know? He says, so sir, the 60, was it 60 or 50 million we was measuring that day? He says, sir, it's not like we are really in need of, we are not anxious for the money, sir. We I say, eh? God, I beg, let them not close this deal. Which one? What did he say? Say the truth, man of God. He says, sir, with all due respect, money is not our problem. When you send this money, we can send it almost immediately. We just want to deliver. When he finished, I said, oh, you mean what you said? He said, man of God, is we have to make them understand. God changed the story. Like a dream. And that's why I said you should come and be one of the people that will do the talk show today, because he's somebody some of us even know. And how that God has helped him to rise. In active service, I used to know him with prayer. His prayer is not la ba la ba. His prayer, la 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 la. That's where he prays. Serious prayer. The first time I saw him praying, I was calming him down. I said, calm down. God will hear your prayer. He's a real church boy. When they say church boy, he's church boy. Real church boy. If I told me one, is it when the Lord told me I will enter into prosperity, I was taking testimony in church. I don't know if you remember. He said, I was taking testimony in church. And the Lord told me. Gave him the mic. He wants to explain that thing well. Fast. Just this one testimony. Just only this one. Then I just pray for the sick. Yes. What's happening there? Technical. Please, the volume. Or something. Are they there? Okay. Is it activated? No. What technical?
Hallelujah.
All right.
So that was one of the testimony that I missed out, and I was really wishing to give somebody that privilege. So I was right at the back of the church to take testimony. While I was there, and you know, because I've been trusting the Lord, pushing with the business, you know, my boss told me that if you become a billionaire tomorrow, I won't be surprised. But this business requires patience, and we kept pushing, and I have had a deal that I missed out on $3.5 billion. I had the privilege, the owner of Batoha gave me the privilege, but the bank went against the deal, and it didn't happen. So while I was at the back of the church taking testimony, and I heard a voice say, this money that you're looking for, this wealth, say, if I give you wealth, will you still serve me?
Somebody,
I heard it very, very clear. It was vivid. If I give you wealth, will you still serve me?
And you made an answer.
And I answered yes, sir.
Yes.
When I said yes, sir, the person that was standing close heard me, because it felt like somebody was speaking to my ear. And I said, yes, sir, I will serve.
Can we celebrate that? Hallelujah to Jesus. You see that? But the question is this. Now, highlight. Oh, sorry. It's like he missed something.
In respect to that already, because the service has started, I told them that God's servant gave a prophecy to a woman in church on Sunday. I said, I see God giving you restoration. She was doing business before. She was selling rice or something. She had a big restaurant, but everything went down. And God's servant said, I see God giving you restoration. She said she's selling pepper now in the market. And when that was done with her, God's servant gave the prophecy, and we decided to answer the prayer right in church. And I said, we will restore her. Eden Shelter will restore her. Just yesterday, we sent half a millionaire. That woman was rolling on the ground. She has been praying all manners. Just by that act of, you know, service. More to come. We are telling the Lord that if you would partner with us. Now, beyond that, we decided to go into covenant with the Lord. Just like he has said, that if I give you this world, will you serve me? So I told the Lord that if you would give us money, we will partner with you in bringing souls to church. So every Sunday, we partner with the church. We ensure that the buses that come to bring people, we pay different locations. About 3 locations for now as we're growing. So gradually, first Sunday we have more people coming to church, and last Sunday, you know, sometimes first Sunday and last Sundays are usually together. So the burdens can be much, but I decided that it has to be the day that you have more crowd and the day that you have more welfare people coming to church. So we decided to do that. And that is our partnership, and we are growing in it gradually.
Beautiful. Hallelujah to Jesus. That was timely as we get to close. Now, like he said, that question he asked, the Holy Spirit asked him, put it in your heart. If he gives you money now, will you still serve him? And secondly, if he was not a man of the Spirit, how will he hear the Holy Spirit? You see that? Don't joke with the Holy Ghost. Every morning, practice the presence of God. Years ago, that Ephraim used to pray. I know him very well as a man of prayer. I know him personally. It was looking like nothing will happen in his life. Like I say, I don't pray that kind of prayer. He prays that kind of prayer. My own is soft prayer. He has strength. You can even see the way he talks. But see what God is doing in his life today. Ask somebody. Turn to your neighbor before we pray for the sick. Do you hear the Holy Ghost? Do you pray in the Spirit? Don't follow Satan, oh. Yahoo is not a way of life. Hookup is not a way of life. It's not. It may look like a nice thing until you have HIV and AIDS. Yahoo will look like a nice thing until they say they want you to start bringing blood. Then EFCC catch you and they declare you 76 years in prison. You are 30, you are not even sure you reach 70 years. They say 76 years. If Satan gives with one hand, he collects with what? But you know you can prosper God's way. All these songs that say, take the word and give it to Jesus, I told you yesterday, it's not my song. The earth is. The earth is the Lord's. The world is the Lord's earth. It's not the devil's earth. Go into the world, make disciples from all nations. And the Lord will empower you. See, God give God a reason to become a billionaire, for you to become a billionaire. If God sees that you have kingdom in your heart, this tailoring business will grow. This agri business will grow. This coding skill will grow. But if there's no kingdom in your heart, you are going nowhere. Be on your feet. We have a lot of reasons to pray.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.